This recording is part of a series of podcasts in which the novel Dear Yoni is read aloud chapter by chapter by the author Lisa Pickard. Please note that Dear Yoni contains sexually explicit language and scenes of a sexual nature. It is not suitable for anyone under the age of 18.
Hello, dear listener, and welcome to the very last podcast recording of my book, Dear Yoni. I am so pleased and thankful that you have stayed with me on this entire journey. You know, it is people like you that make it possible for me to do what I do as an author. So I really hope you enjoy the final recording, and I will speak to you again at the end. Chapter 19, A Dream Comes True. I am sitting in the yab-yum position with my new beloved. He is sitting cross-legged on a cushion, and I am sitting on his lap with my legs around his waist. Our arms are around each other, and we're holding each other close. We are breathing in unison, raising our individual sexual energy and circulating and weaving our energies together. Breathing in, I raise my energy from my lower two chakras to my heart chakra. Breathing out, I circulate my energy out from my heart and into his heart. He breathes in on my outbreath and receives my energy through his heart, circulating it down through his body and mingling it with his energy. He then breathes out the energy via his energetic lingam into my energetic yoni. Each round of breaths raises the energy between us higher and higher. Each breath opens us up, surrenders us deeper and deeper to each other, surrenders us deeper to life. This is the deepest connection I have ever experienced with another human being. This is total vulnerability and absolute intimacy. This is the dream and the fantasy that I have cherished for over 3 years, finally beginning to come true. I met Arthur on the tantric dating site. After a few messages back and forth, we eventually met in person. Even though he's nothing at all like the type of men I normally find attractive and interesting, there was an immediate connection between us. My long checklist for a potential partner that I had meticulously composed when I first started dating again, well, that just flew right out the window. The thought occurred to me that perhaps it was time to make a new checklist that better reflected the person I had become during my journey towards more conscious sexuality. The ability to be able to completely meet me where I now am, and the ability to be totally present, actually topped the list now. Somehow, considerations such as physical attractiveness or whether he was successful were now completely secondary to whether he was spiritually awake or was engaged on his own deep inner journey. Arthur and I met at a coffee shop, and after greeting each other, we simply sat and I gazed for almost 10 minutes without saying a single word. This wasn't a conscious decision, well, at least on my part. But somehow it just happened, completely naturally. It was weird because the waiters were hovering around nervously, waiting to take our order, but not wanting to interrupt us. And as the minutes passed, all conversation in the coffee shop slowly died down as the other patrons gradually became aware of the rather unusual interaction that was happening in their midst. It felt as if our soul deep connection was creating a sort of a gravitational pull that became the main focal point in the room. Seriously strange. And when we did eventually begin speaking, there was immediate simpatico between us. You know, it felt as if we had known each other for years. We didn't discuss the normal kinds of things that people talk about on a date, such as family and jobs and hobbies and sport and, you know, favorite movies and favorite foods. Instead, we talked about finding meaning and purpose in life, our fears and our dreams, and what our hearts most deeply yearned for. From the very beginning, we were able to discuss the deepest and most intimate of topics, with no sense of embarrassment or awkwardness. By the end of that very first meeting, a coffee date that lasted for 3 hours, and during which we consumed no coffee whatsoever, we both agreed that we wanted to create the opportunity for a conscious sexual interaction between the two of us. However, we spent another 2 meetings in discussion and in planning of all the details. He actually shared my so-called impossible vision of creating a relating in freedom and in love without all the normal social restrictions that are usually associated with a normal relationship. We both agreed that we wanted no ownership, possessiveness, or jealousy in our ideal relating. The only commitment we would make to each other would be that of monogamy, sexual monogamy, as both of us felt that it was too complicated to develop a deeply intimate relationship with more than one person at a time. Certainly for right now, but we made no promises about what the future might hold. Other than sexual monogamy, there was to be no commitment and no relationship in the traditional sense. This would be a relating in the present moment only that had love with a capital letter L firmly at its center. A relating in which each partner was completely free to express themselves fully in whatever way they needed and desired. We agreed that we would meet in the intersection of the Venn diagram of Arthur's needs and my needs only for as long as this intersection existed in the present moment. That sounds very esoteric and out there, but somehow, in discussing it with Arthur, it just made sense. I was constantly blown away by how simple it was to connect with Arthur. This was such a very unusual way of doing things. No subtexts, no guessing. Every single detail was discussed and planned. I know that we've all been conditioned by Hollywood to believe that a great sexual interaction is all about spontaneity, the grabbing of each other, and the shedding of clothing all the way to the bedroom, where, with virtually no foreplay, the hero and the heroine come together like a tornado and somehow know exactly what to do to please each other as they achieve a mind-blowing simultaneous orgasm. Yeah, right. I think we can all agree that this just isn't the way it happens in real life. But no wonder so many of us are left wondering if there's something wrong with us that we aren't having the experiences that we're sold by the media. Well, all of this was the exact opposite of that. Arthur and I discussed absolutely everything. We talked about what we deeply desired in the minutest of details. We talked about our boundaries, both soft and hard. We talked about our sexual history and when we had last been tested for every single STD and what safety measures we would adopt against disease and unwanted pregnancy. And I know this sounds very unsexy to have this kind of a talk with someone, but somehow it actually was sexy. More importantly, it was deeply intimate and connected and fostered a sense of trust between the two of us. Most of all, we talked about what such an interaction would mean to each of us. We even discussed what our needs would be with respect to ensuring that we felt comfortable, safe, and honored afterwards, even down to the need for phone calls to check in the day afterwards. There would be absolutely no guesswork involved in this interaction. This was fully conscious sexuality in action. And I absolutely loved how safe and comfortable and valued and honored it made me feel. It's completely counterintuitive and yet that was my reality. And when I thought about this a little bit more, I realized that for the one who is to embody the divine feminine, this requires total surrender. You know, the first time I encountered this idea of surrender, my feminist hackles raised in protest. But this is not about surrendering from a place of weakness or a place of lack of choice or being forced to surrender. This is about choosing to surrender from a place of power, from a place of knowing your own divine goddess nature. And in this surrender, there is immense strength and courage. Ultimately, this entire life is all about surrender, and eventually each of us will have to surrender every single aspect of what makes us who we are. This is necessary in order to move on to the next level of existence after this life has ended. So every single moment of surrender is a small dress rehearsal for that ultimate surrender. And each surrender releases us a little more from the suffering of this reality. So my feelings about surrender had gradually begun to change, and my inner feminist eventually put down her sword. During the sex act, the surrender is also a complete opening and receiving for the feminine, which can be extremely vulnerable for the person embodying this polarity. I'm not just talking about a woman opening her body to her lover. In fact, it's entirely possible for a woman to allow herself to be penetrated without actually opening her energy or her entire being to her lover at all. In fact, sadly, this often happens, which explains why so many women feel so dissatisfied with sex. The total intimacy and connection that we crave can only happen when there is complete trust, when the divine feminine of the woman, or the person taking on that role, feels completely safe and held by the divine masculine of her partner. Then she can allow herself to completely unfold, allow her heart to be completely open, and allow her energetic, physical, emotional, and other subtle bodies to be completely penetrated. Allow herself to merge with her lover in divine union. The conversations that Arthur and I had allowed me to feel totally safe and to begin to trust him implicitly. We were both very vulnerable in the discussions, which allowed intimacy to rapidly blossom between us. The thought occurred to me that if it feels weird or impossible to discuss such topics before having intimate relations with someone, then you probably shouldn't be having sex with them in the first place. This should really be taught to all young people. You know, a framework for having a conversation about all of the topics that should really be covered before having sex. The sex education that we receive as children and as teens is all about basic biology and about how to avoid STDs or unwanted pregnancies. We don't receive any education about pleasure, very little about our emotions, or about what sex can really mean in a spiritual context. And we certainly receive precious little information about techniques and tools that can elevate sex from a dreary, friction-based genital affair to an ecstatic and deeply meaningful experience. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could change all of that by educating ourselves first and then our children? One can but dream. The chosen day of our first intimate session together had finally arrived. We had created a clean, safe, and sacred space together. We had carefully chosen a music playlist that felt supportive of our goals. We lit incense and candles and spoke out loud our intentions for the interaction, calling in our spirit guides and our higher selves to be with us throughout. Then we sat cross-legged in front of each other, with our right hands on the other's heart, and our left hands over the right hands of our partner. We simply eye-gazed and breathed together for at least 10 minutes. As we did so, I felt my heart opening to Arthur. I opened myself completely, dropped all of my armoring and all of my energetic blockages and all of my fears and all of my doubts, and allowed Arthur to see me fully. And he did the same. Because of all the discussions and deep sharing that we had had prior to this moment, it felt completely safe for us to do so. As we eye gazed, I firstly became aware of Arthur, the person, sitting here before me. I could sense his essence, his strength of character and his gentleness, as well as his deep curiosity and seeking for answers in life. I could also sense him tapping into my essence. It was deeply satisfying to allow myself to be so completely seen in this way, and to see him in return. It was also a deeply vulnerable space. As I breathed into that vulnerability, I remembered briefly that Anushka had said that it takes great courage to allow oneself to be completely vulnerable. I felt that quite acutely at that moment. It was a conscious choice to be fully open on all levels, physically, energetically, emotionally, and spiritually. But she was so, so right when she said that intimacy follows vulnerability. The tenderness and the intimacy between Arthur and myself at that moment was truly sublime. But then, after a while, my awareness of Arthur's personality dropped away, and I began to sense the spiritual, divine presence of his higher self. As this happened, gradually Arthur's face began to change, just as I had experienced with Sarah during my very first Tantra workshop. I could now see the divine being that Arthur truly was. He was breathtakingly beautiful. And I couldn't even begin to comprehend how I had thought that he was physically unattractive upon first sight. I now totally felt as if I was in the presence of a god, and I was overcome with awe and reverence. There was such a powerfully deep connection, complete trust and intimacy between us, even at this early stage, that I would actually have been content just to remain eye-gazing for the rest of our interaction. But gradually I began to feel the sexual energy rising between us. I could feel my energy body activating and beginning to vibrate. The level of magnetism and attraction between us were unlike anything I had ever experienced before. Finally, Arthur lifted me, still clothed in my robe, onto his lap, into the yab-yam position, and we began to breathe together. The life force energy was flooding through us now, and our sexual energy was being sublimated to ever higher and higher and higher vibrations. Very soon, I could no longer feel where I ended and where Arthur began. We were simply one divine presence. We were divine love. And now we began to add sound and movement to our breathing, rocking back and forth in unison, while remaining in a completely meditative state of mindfulness. And we hadn't even kissed yet. Wrapped around each other, I breathed his breath into my being as my eyes absorbed his soul essence. And he breathed me in as well. Our lips moved closer and closer together with each breath until, finally, in one electrically charged, infinite moment between breaths, they met in ecstatic union. Even as the erotic energy surged between us, we continued to breathe and sound and move the energy up through our crown chakras and outwards as our energy fields expanded and expanded to many times their normal size. I was so exquisitely present in every single sensation, every feeling, every breath. Every single moment was an eternity. And when we were finally naked before each other, naked bodies, naked hearts, naked emotions, naked spirits. And when we finally penetrated each other and fully received each other with our energy bodies and our physical bodies and our emotional bodies, suddenly I was living my dream. It was complete knowing of Arthur and being completely known in return. His thoughts and feelings were my thoughts and feelings, and we were no longer two people making love. We were life, making love to itself through our bodies. And then we were no longer even aware of our bodies, and we were simply love, the unity of all, eternal and unknowable. And we laughed and cried and sweated and gasped together until we simply ceased to exist. Nothing would ever be the same again. Epilogue, Day 28, Dear Yoni. So yes, this particular story does appear to have a happy ending. The dream that I was gifted over 3 years ago did indeed come true for me. I finally got to experience that deep connection and total intimacy that I had been yearning for my entire life. I had the felt experience of being completely seen and completely known by another, and seeing and knowing him completely in return. I experienced the immense joy, grace, and privilege of briefly touching the divine in an act of sacred, conscious lovemaking. It was indeed the very first time in my life that an act of lovemaking hadn't been disappointing to me. I had truly, finally, discovered the more that I had always been searching for. But as I contemplated my journey of the past several years, I realized that, my peak experience with Arthur aside, the journey had actually been its own reward. It is in the striving, in the reaching for something that seems to be so much more than ourselves, that we finally, actually, encounter our true selves. The person I now believed myself to be was so much freer, so much more authentic, so much calmer, and so much more centered. But I was, dear Yoni, as you know, by no means perfect. I still experienced moments of self-doubt, moments of grief and rage and jealousy and incomprehensible reactions to people and events. I knew that there was still so much more to be discovered, so much hiding away in my shadow. Perhaps that closet of things that I had refused to open for so many years still had a few lurgies lurking in the corners. But every day as I remain engaged in the process of peeling away layers of not-self and moving ever closer to my true divine self, I discovered something else. I realized that it had never actually been about the destination, about achieving some perfect dream, but rather about this ongoing journey that will continue for the rest of this life on this planet, and perhaps even beyond. For a human being is not a fixed entity, but rather an ever-unfolding process of becoming. Of course, although I had experienced a few moments of deep connection with the divine, I certainly couldn't consider myself to be enlightened yet. This ideal would indeed become my new North Star, my new guiding light upon my own personal journey of becoming. The end. And there you have it, dear listener. The end of my book. I truly hope that you have enjoyed this book. I hope that you've had a lot of laughter and fun, and also that perhaps you've learned something new, and perhaps you've been inspired to seek out your own personal journey of becoming. And if that is the case, then it would certainly have all been more than worthwhile for me. So just to let you know, I will now be working on publishing the book in paperback form. So if you would like to know when the paperback format is available for purchase, then I urge you to sign up for my newsletter on my website, dearyoni.com. And also, you can follow me on Facebook, where I will continue to post thoughts, ideas, videos about topics relating to the topics that were covered in this book. So I look forward to encountering you, dear reader, in many different places. And I wish you the very best on your own personal journey of discovery and of becoming your most divine self. Bye-bye.